Is it on? Yeah. Hope that's my voice anyway. Just gonna have a sip of this. Okay, I thought I'd better introduce myself because some people might not know me. My name is Aldo Dondre. I'm Irish born. My father's Italian, so you don't have to try and figure out where the name's from. It's from Italy. I've lived here in Basildon for 31 years now, long time. Came over here when I was 16. I'm married to Claire. She's out there with her daughter Willow. She's going now. Bye. Willow's first time coming here, but she used to go to church elsewhere. I work as a chef in a nursing home in Eastwood. So it's nice that I get to talk about olive oil during this message. I was involved with children and youth. I was a helper with children and youth for quite a few years in the church here, and it was a great time. You can learn a lot while you're teaching the children. They can teach you, you teach them, but mainly you should be teaching them. But anyway, it's great. But now I'm a deacon for social action, so that's enough about me. I'm just going to read the passage now. It's from 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Okay. Nice one. Okay, you ready? Yeah. It's entitled The Widow's Olive Oil. Reading from, I've already said that. Because olive oil is included in this passage, I did a bit of research on olive oil. I got a few little factoids, as I called them. I don't know if you may know some, but the Latin word oleum means olive oil, and every oil, the word oil itself actually means olive oil. So when we talk about crude oil or whatever, the origin of the word actually means olive oil. So it's quite famous for that reason. Every year across the world, 2.5 million tons of olive oil is produced. That's a lot of olives, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Roughly, I mean, I don't know where to get these facts from, but the biggest consumers of olive oil in the world are, anyone wanna? Italians? Actually, it's the Greeks. The Greeks consume about 12.5 kilograms of olive oil per person, per capita. I'm not saying everybody does, but I mean, if you add it all together, of course. In the UK, it's 0.4 of a kilo. That's our consumption. Okay, so the biggest producer, oh yeah, by the way, it's followed by the Spanish, then the Italians. The Spanish are the biggest producers of olive oil in the world. So across the world, olive oil has been made famous by a myriad of TV programs promoting the Mediterranean diet. Claire tells me I say that wrong, but I'm Irish, but that's how I say it. Anyway. So, yeah, anyway, it's been made famous by a myriad of TV programs and chefs like Jamie Oliver. But actually, the Bible is what really made olive oil famous for centuries. Places like maybe Iceland, who never even heard seen an olive tree, rather, would have known about the olive oil. Before we go on, I took the opportunity. I wanted to check it out because I read about olive oil lamps. So I'm going to do it over here. Just going to move the Bible, move the offering box. And so I made one. And it's really simple to make. Therefore, I made one. Nothing that special about the jar. It's an old gherkin jar. But basically, it's just... that's olive oil. I could have used a mixture. It would have been kind of cheaper, but I thought I'd better make sure to use olive oil. So that's extra virgin olive oil in there. And it's just a little bit of wire that I scrounged from Peter Lowe yesterday. And you make a circular so that you can get a wick in there and you can move the wick up and down. And then it just hangs on the edge so you can lift it out, etc. Now, shall I light it? Okay. All right, seeing as you... seeing as you forced me, I shall do it. Oh, man. Keep it steady. And there we go. So, basically, that's the kind of olive oil lamps, but they would have used like a flattened teapot in the Bible times with a little spout. If you think of Aladdin's lamp, for instance, am I allowed to say that? But anyway, if you think of Aladdin's lamp, it's kind of a flattened version made out of clay. I'll just leave it burning, but that should burn for hours now. And like, if you fancy a romantic meal, you could quickly make one. I tried the other night, but I made it wrong, and the flame was useless. It was used. So, anyway, the first mention, the olive tree is famous for something else. It's the first mentioned plant after the flood. By the way, olive oil doesn't smoke. That's one. It does, obviously, if you burn it in a frying pan. But when you use it as an oil burner, the oil doesn't. That's what you're seeing smoking right now is the cotton jeans that I used. But that'll settle down. Oh, thank you. You want to put it on that? Thank you. That will settle down once the jeans burn up a little bit. And it's no fire alarms. Good. The first mention is when the dove brought back an olive leaf to Noah. And what this did was it brought assurance to Noah that God was faithful. It brought assurance to Noah that new life had begun as God had promised. That's the first mention. Then it's mentioned right the way across the Bible. And another special place where it's mentioned is the menorah. Anybody know what the menorah is? Any of you young people? Menorah. It's the golden lampstand that was in the temple of God. And what this lampstand did was it lit up the Ark of the Covenant, and it also lit up the Ten Commandments. So it's just another great picture in the Bible. So it's mentioned many times through the Bible. But one of the good things about olive oil is that although it was used in the high places, in the temple and in other high places, it was also used by the common people. It wasn't just set aside for the rich. Everybody had access to it. So our story takes us to this poor widow in Israel. And she's in a dire situation. Her husband has died. I presume it was premature, simply because the children seemed to be very young. Otherwise, they would have been out working, I expect. And so she goes to Elisha, and she tells him her problem. And then Elisha says to the woman, tell me what I can do for you. So that's a great question, isn't it? Tell me what I can do for you. And it's a question that Elisha himself was asked many years before by Elijah. Elijah was the prophet who preceded Elisha. And Elisha was going to be taken to heaven, and he knew that. So he looked at Elisha, who was following him around a lot, and he said to him, what do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away? So it's great that he's asking that question himself. He's learned well from his master. And so Elisha said to him that when you get taken away, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, okay, it's a difficult thing you're asking, but if you see me when I'm taken away from you, you're going to receive it. But if you don't, you won't. So Elisha plays a part. He puts his faith into action, and he plays a part. And what he does is he follows Elijah everywhere. He doesn't leave him out of his sight. People whisper to him and say, you know, your master's going to get taken away. And you get a feeling. He's like, shh, I know that. You know, so he keeps following him. And then the time comes and he sees it happen. He sees Elijah taken to heaven by a chariot of fire. And Elijah was the major prophet, the main prophet in Israel, the number one prophet. There were others at the time, companies of them. He was the main prophet. And he saw it. And then the anointing came on him and he received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. And straight away he parted the Jordan River with his cloak and he started to do great miracles. So that's how Elisha became a prophet. And Jesus also asked that question in the New Testament. Does anybody remember who he asked that question to? There's one particular time. It's a blinding story. I love it. Blind Bartimaeus, yeah? The son of Timaeus, yeah. Great, thank you. So Jesus said to him, he said, he went out, he was calling out to Jesus, and everybody was like, shut up. He doesn't want to listen to you or something. And he was like, I'm not shutting up. He shouted louder. You know, he didn't stand on ceremony. He just cried out to Jesus. He didn't care who was listening. He needed help. So he put his faith into action, and he cried out to Jesus. And Jesus said, come here. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And for us, it's like, I think he wants to see. But Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, your faith has given you sight, so he could see. So the woman's standing there, and she's asking Elisha this question. And Elisha, I'm going to turn my page over. Okay, sorry. Yep. So the woman's standing there, and she asks Elisha this question. And Elisha says, you get the impression he doesn't let her answer. He says, how can I help you? What have you got in your house? And he's like thinking, I think he was excited. I think, yes, I'm going to help this woman. I really feel the Lord's presence right now. I'm going to help this woman. And he said, what have you got in your house? And she said, is it still burning? Still smoking as well, but that's all right. So anyway, she said, all your servant has is a small jar of olive oil. And then Elisha says to her, okay, go back home. Go around, ask all your neighbors for jars, and don't just ask for a few. So, and then go home, go indoors, close the door, and then pour the oil into all of those jars. So she goes home, and she does what he says. Now, as Christians, we all need help. I think that as Christians, we have to remember we're in a spiritual war, where we are in a battle. We're facing spiritual enemies. We're facing lots of distractions. There's lots of distractions. A few people probably go like this now. But yeah, there are lots of distractions out there that we face. And also, there's the battle that wages within ourselves. So we need help. And you know, this lady had to go and ask her neighbors for help. And like I know Nick prayed earlier about coming forward, but sometimes we can miss a great opportunity to be honest with you, to get free of stuff that's trying to drag us down, battles we're fighting, lies we're listening to. And Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we pray with each other as believers, especially on this first day of the week, the Lord's Day, when we gather together, I believe the power of God is present, and we can be, you know, we can just really experience being set free from stuff or being empowered to just carry on and get through that battle by coming together. Many years ago, a few of you remember Horace, yeah, Horace Remington. Stuart Wood was preaching, and it was the scripture in the New Testament about it was concerning the Apostle Paul, and it said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. The goad was used to move cattle on. And anyway, he was preaching on that message, and it was really, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I really felt like it's a powerful message. And I was about ready to give up on my involvement with children and youth. I was just looking at my life and thinking, you know, I'm not good enough for this. What am I doing telling these kids anything? I was listening to a lot of stuff, and I was ready to quit. And on that particular evening, that message was fantastic. And I think what I was feeling was like the Lord was talking to me. You're kicking against what you're meant to be doing. Get on with what you're meant to be doing. So what I did on that night, there was a call to come to prayer. I came to the front. Horace sat next to me, and he put his arm around me, as you can imagine. That's the kind of thing Horace would do. And he surprised me because he didn't start praying. And I was, okay. He said, let's listen. He said, let's listen. Just listen. And I was like, okay. So I just sat there quietly with my eyes closed. And Chris at the ocean, who was on tea duty with a bunch of people, and he's meant to be this morning, but he's not here, I don't think. No, he's probably called in. Anyway, he was on duty with the other children at the time. He was a lot younger. And I just really felt like God talking to my spirit. It wasn't like I was hearing an audible voice, but I really felt in my spirit, God can really talk deep into our spirit so we get what he's saying and we can run with that. You know, we can, of course, test these things. And I won't reveal what I heard that day, but I felt really encouraged and I carried on. I ended up doing a youth work course, Engage, a youth work course. Maybe some of you young people are going to do a youth work course or something in the future. And I recommend it. If you get the opportunity, you can learn a lot and put it into practice, not just with youth work, but with all of life. It was hard, but anyway, so I went on and I stayed involved for many years and gave that up so I could focus on really social action and being a husband and the demands of life. But that was an example of taking that opportunity and being prayed with. So I certainly recommend it. And Horace did pray with me after that, lad. But it is good to listen. Praying is a two-way conversation. So the woman obeyed Elisha. And the woman went and she knocked on all her neighbor's doors. I don't know about you. Anybody here ever knock on a neighbor for an egg? Anyone ever done that? Or a flower? Like, it's okay if you're confident and you know it's okay. I'm not taking advantage and so on. So the woman goes and she knocks and she has to knock on all the houses. There must have been people she didn't get on with. I mean, I don't know if we have neighbors we don't get on with. I think I mostly do, but I think a lot of us don't really have much contact with our neighbors, so it's maybe easier. But in some cultures, like in Limerick, Ireland, where I grew up, the whole street knew each other. Everyone knew everyone's business. Everyone knew everyone. People would come to your door and ask you to take my mum and ask her to take up their trousers. And, you know, we'd go across the street and say hi and hope we get a biscuit and all that. You know, we were very, very kind of close in that community sense. But at the same time, there were a lot of issues in that community. But one of the things we used to do as boys, we had an idea. We found out how we could make money, and I'm sure some of you did as well. Did the same similar thing. We'd knock and we'd ask for their old bottles, their old lemonade bottles and all. And then we'd take them back and we'd probably get 1p or 2p per bottle. Was it 3p, Al? Yeah, there was 240 pence in a pound then, yeah. Wow. Well, cheers for that. I don't know if I bought any cigarettes or if I was old enough, but I might have. Yeah, which was naughty. So anyway, we would... Yeah, in them days, they didn't ask you. They didn't ask you your age. You could go down when you were 7 and buy cigarettes for your mum. So we would take the bottles back, we'd get the money, and we learned a few things. Eventually you learn who not to knock on, you learn who's going to give you the best, you start to learn when's a good time, and you plan it, and you get those bottles. You're doing them a favor as well. It might not be bothered with 2p, you're saving them, taking it back, you know. But that was recycling at its best, I think. You got a bit of cash back for it, and hopefully they'll bring that back. But moving back, I'm going off. My point is that the woman here didn't have a choice. She had to knock on everybody's door if she was going to obey the word of Elisha. And that's what she did. She knocked on everyone's door. And sometimes we have to do things because the Lord has told us to. And if we really feel in our spirit, and sometimes we can say, okay, that seems good. That seems right. I feel right about it. And then when we're left to stew and think about it, we might forget that idea. Actually, I was in the right then. No, I'm not going to go and apologize. Actually, that must have been my own thoughts. And we carry on and we miss out on a blessing. So what I'm trying to say is that if the Lord speaks to us to do something, maybe jot it down, maybe think about it and go with it, because you'll see great blessing in obeying the Lord. And this woman, obeys the Lord. This woman goes and knocks and she gets loads of jars. Now, I wonder if any of you are sitting there and you know the history, and you know that she wasn't knocking and getting all mayonnaise jars. They were all clay pots. They were called amphora. Don't know if anybody's come across them, but you know what the Greeks used, the kind of oval, big, some of them were like 5'6" tall. They could hold nearly a ton of liquid. I mean, these things were huge. Anyway, so when she went to the house, I expect some of the jars were 500 mils. Some of them would have been, I don't know, 80 liters. I mean, we're talking a lot here. When the boy said there's none left, you know, in the story, I think they were probably thinking, yes, there's none left, because they were probably, took them ages to fill these jars. Another thing I love about this story is, oh yeah, by the way, getting back to the jars were made out of clay. Remind you of some people, you know, where we're all made out of clay ourselves. And her mission was to pour oil into the jars. And I get an impression from what I read that she didn't stop pouring. It says she didn't stop pouring. I don't think she went next. I think there was oil all over that area. And the oil would have been the finest quality olive oil, green, a real green color, filling up those jars. Eventually, of course, she fills the jars and the oil stops flowing. But she obeyed God. She did what she did, and she saw a great result. She was able to sell the oil and with the proceeds pay off her debts and also live on the rest. So it was just such great blessing for this woman. Now, Elisha, for her, in those days, he was like the presence of Jesus to us. Elisha, he spoke the words of God. And Jesus speaks to us. And Jesus tells us how to behave. He wants us to shine for him in this world. And I know that it's not easy because there's so much that doesn't want us to shine. But Jesus wants us to shine for him in this world. And he said, let your light, I didn't plan this, this scripture just came to me, and it's Andy that's there. And he said, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and praise your heavenly Father. Okay? So it's not like we're boasting, because no, if our hearts need to boast about Jesus, what he's done for us, and our actions will just glorify him if that's what we're doing. And it's to remember as well that as Christians, our faith isn't in this world. Our faith is in the world to come. But we're promised that we will have joys in this world. We'll have great joys, but we'll also face hardships as we go the way of Christ. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we're more than conquerors. That's brilliant. You think, how can we be more than conquerors? And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, Napoleon, he was quite a conqueror. You know, lots of people in the past were conquerors, but they're conquering. Eventually a bigger conqueror comes and knocks them out, you know, pardon the pun. Whereas with us, being more than conquerors in Christ, we're never going to die. In Christ, we have that glorious future to look forward to. We're going to live forever. We're going to have pleasures forevermore. It's going to be awesome. So when I say about helping others, what we do now will, you know, it'll reap eternal rewards in the sense of we help other people. We're, the Word of God says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? God owes everything. He owns everything. He gives us a little bit of what he owns. He gives it to us, and he allows us to be, what is it, stewards of it. And then if we give some of that to someone else, it says we're lending to the Lord. And it just shows his grace. It's amazing. So this woman, though, can you imagine another thing? She probably had doubts and fears. Think about her situation. Her husband had died. And I think prematurely, of course, because I don't think he had left taking on a debt, thinking I'll be gone. I ain't bothered, I'll be gone. No way. I think that he planned, like us with our mortgages, that kind of debt, I believe. It was like an investment debt, if you want. A debt becomes a debt, really, when you can't pay it back. I have bills, I have a mortgage. We manage them, my wife and I, you know, by the grace of God, we manage them. But if we can't manage them, it becomes a debt. And there's many people in our town who are in debt. And Christians Against Poverty is another example of faith in action. We might think your faith is you pray over somebody and they're healed, and that's great, and that happens, and that's fantastic. But faith as well is believing in God and doing what he says. You know, he who believes, what's the scripture again? Faith, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that did diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, yeah, got sidetracked then. Okay, so the woman was a faithful woman. That's me covering up that I forgot where I was. But she was a faithful woman, and she obeyed. And when you read the scriptures, when I, definitely I, got to speak to myself here, read the scriptures, just putting that faith into action and making a difference in the world to help other people, to reach out to them. And one of the ways that we can do it, wherever I put them, is this one. Isn't all a build-up. I meant to tell you this before I started. Just to tell you. Excuse me. Just drink a drop of that. What time is it? 10:02. So, Claire and I, years ago, when we first got married, we sponsored a little girl in Ethiopia. Her name is Yerosa Tefari. We sponsored her through Compassion. Has anyone heard of Compassion UK? Well, Compassion, I'm sure there's people here and you already sponsor. And what Compassion UK is do, in the name of Jesus, they reach out to children all around the world, children in dire straits, children in difficult situations, and they support them. They send them to school. They provide them with clothing, birthday gifts, all this kind of thing. It helps the family out. They provide them with a Christ-centered teaching. So they do all this. And what happens is you sponsor a child. It costs about £25 a month. And this is like if the child is 8, you're probably going to be sponsoring that child for 12 years, maybe something like that. And that child becomes part of your life. You get pictures of them as they grow up. They become your pen pal. You write to them. So what I've done, and if anyone is interested and not already sponsoring or wants to sponsor, etc., there's some leaflets here if you go for your cuppa. You can just take it home, maybe have a read about it, think about it. There's some on the information desk. And I also got some child profiles sent to me. So I've got 4 little children. If you were to take one of these and then you'd be taking it, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sponsor this child. I've got this child, Amiva Chiquita. It's a nice name. Begins with T. She's from Togo. Togo's over near New Guinea, is it? Is it in Africa? Okay, I thought it was. Isn't there something similar over there? And then there's Christian Amsel. He's 9. He lives in East Indonesia. Sometimes a very hard place for Christians to be. Erida Akamikazi. She's from Rwanda, and she's aged 3. And we have a familiar name, Isaac Mensah. And Isaac is 6, and he's from Ghana. And Compassion's phrase is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. So I'll just leave them here. Actually, I won't leave them here. I'll hold on to them. If anybody's interested in these particular ones, or you can take a leaflet and have a little look. If you wish. Now, in the same way that the jars were filled up with olive oil, Jesus, he did something amazing for us. He went to heaven. He died for our sins. He died so that we could have life with him in this world, a glorious life now, a life that still has problems because of our human frailties and what we face, as I spoke about earlier. But he died for us. He died for us so that we could live forever. And what, in the same way Elisha had to look at Elijah, and when he saw Elijah ascend to heaven, he believed, I'm going to see this, and it's going to be what I asked for. In the same way, when we believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins, that he rose again and ascended into heaven, when we believe the gospel message and that he's coming back again, when we see that with the eyes of faith, we receive the Holy Spirit. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can, without the Holy Spirit, we fail. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. And not just, I believe, that's it. But actually to persistently, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up unto you. So we must continue to ask. And when we receive opportunities to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we, you know, try and take them, is what I say. And sometimes there can be, you can really feel like something's changed. There can be a breakthrough. Other times you don't feel much. You might not feel much. You might not feel anything's happened, but it's faith. And we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So what I'm going to do is, just close in prayer now. And that is still burning. And I notice I need a proper wick so it doesn't smoke like that. But I shall use that again at home. So I'm just going to close in a prayer. I want to just pray for us all, if that's okay. And I just want to pray for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also want to pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus. He died for your sins. He wants you to live forever. He wants you to turn from your sins, because sin is not your friend. Anything that takes you away from God's best for you is not your friend. Doesn't mean that you become a Christian, there's no more sin. We're forgiven of our sins as we turn to Jesus, and repentance can be a lifelong, is a lifelong process. Dear Lord Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I just pray for us all here at Kingswood Baptist Church this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that is a gift from you. All we have is from you. Our faith is a gift from you, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died to save us from sins. Thank you that he rose again, that we are justified with you by faith in your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray for us all, myself, all of us, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would break any strongholds, any attack of the enemy against our lives, O Lord. We just pray that you would break those strongholds, that you would give us wisdom and strength to follow you, to follow your teaching. We pray for our communities, that you would use us, O Lord, to reach out to the broken, the poor, the homeless, the destitute. Lord, and if anyone is here who doesn't know you, hasn't called out to you for salvation, I pray for them, Lord, that you would stir their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts to your amazing grace. It is so sweet, Lord, and we just thank you for your salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.